from KMXT in Kodiak. This is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, it's all about the bass.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass.
Oh, no, wait, it's all about the salmon. From southeast through Cook Inlet, Bristol Bay, and up the Yukon, it's all about the salmon.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by commercial fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
The effort by the Big Ten salmon packers to get back into the Marine Stewardship Council's fold under the Alaska Salmon Processor Association's certification appears to have been abandoned for the summer. KDLG's Molly Dishner has more.
The two groups of processors at odds over who can put the Marine Stewardship Council's blue sustainability label on their fish appear to be at an impasse, says Chris Laddick, the state's Commissioner of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development.
It's going to be July here, which is going to be the height of the red salmon run in Dillingham, so I don't think there's going to be any resolution to it at this point, not what I've seen.
This spring, a group of 10 processors, including Trident, Leader Creek, North Pacific, Peter Pan, Icicle, Ocean Beauty, and others, asked to access the certification, which is held by the nonprofit Alaska Salmon Processors Association. Silver Bay heads up that organization. Copper River is also a member. The MSC label is needed to sell salmon in certain European markets. The two groups have been going back and forth about the terms under which the new group can join. The MSC sponsored mediation, but that failed. So the organization suggested binding arbitration. They couldn't agree on that either, Laddick says.
ASPA initially said they would do it, and then when only a portion of the Trident group agreed to do it, then ASPA pulled out.
Laddick says the governor wants to ensure that there's a market for Alaska salmon. But it's unclear what the next step is or who will make it now that the MSC's suggestion has failed. Laddick says over the next year or two, he'll work with the MSC on changes to the system to prevent a similar issue in the future.
I'm going to be working with MSC to make sure this doesn't ever happen again, that people don't get shut out of the MSC certification program.
Sorting that out could take a year or two. In Dillingham, I'm Molly Dishner.
Southeast Alaska salmon trawlers opened their season on schedule Wednesday, but under protest. The state says this year's quota for Alaska fishermen under the Pacific Salmon Treaty is too low. A deadlock at the Pacific Salmon Commission delayed planning for this summer's king salmon season by months, as representatives from Alaska, Canada, Washington, and Oregon wrangled over estimates of how many Chinook are out there. But last Friday, the Department of Fish and Game announced that the first king opener of the summer troll season will begin, as usual, on July 1st. This summer's fishery will be built around a draft index that the state has refused to formally accept, declaring it too low. The Alaska Trawlers Association estimates Alaska's share of king salmon this year at 237,000 fish. That's slightly below average for the past 10 years, but significantly lower than last year's record quota of nearly 440,000 king salmon. Trawlers say the quota ignores signs that 2015 will be another big year. Trawlers Association Director Dale Kelly says her members are beyond frustration that they may have to watch a banner year for kings swim by.
So, no, we don't feel like fishermen get a fair shake out of this agreement. And really, as long as the treaty's been in place, we never have.
The abundance index is usually reached through consensus among scientists on the Pacific Salmon Commission's Chinook Technical Committee. This year, representatives failed to come to an agreement for the first time in over a decade.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
You're listening to the Alaska Fisheries Report. Hear the show online anytime at kmxt.org. King and chum salmon are still slowly building a run up the Yukon this summer, and fishermen are contending with everything from gear restrictions to wildland fires in their efforts to fill the racks. During the weekly teleconference with fishermen and managers in the U.S. and Canada, organized by the nonprofit Yukon River Drainage Fisheries Association. Fishermen all along the river say Alaska's intense fire season is definitely hampering their fishing season, turning an afternoon boating on the river into a choking day in a smoke-filled oven.
In the high 90s here, thick smoke.
The Marshall Boys firefighters are still out at the Card Street fire, so a lot of our subsistence activities were lower on the previous weeks.
We had Huntington and Galena. Lots of forest fires.
There's a lot of fires in our area, so it's pretty smoky.
The fires may have hindered fishing, but they haven't stopped the fish. The first pulse of Chinook was in the river in early June and is now far upriver as Koyukuk. But overall, the numbers remain low. Roughly 13,000 fewer kings have passed the pilot station sonar project near the river's mouth when compared to this time last year. It's a different story for summer chum. They also began running just a week into June, and now two pulses have made it as far upriver as Holy Cross. But compared to last year, there are nearly 20,000 more chums now in the river. While subsistence has been slow, commercial chum fishing was open in the lower river with dip nets and beach seine gear. As of Sunday, commercial fishermen harvested almost 62,000 chums and released over 3,000 chinooks. Fisherman in St. Mary says the gear limit and overlap should be reason enough to allow for a round-the-clock opening for subsistence.
Since we are doing subsistence and commercial at the same time, what are the chances of having subsistence going 24/7? You know, a little amount of fish in the river and people still haven't meeting their subsistence needs. Management should, you know, give them more chance for subsistence opportunity for this fishermen here, just to give folks a chance to get their subsistence needs taken care of.
Fish and game managers say that's not likely. Stephanie Schmidt, the summer season fishery manager along the Yukon for Fish and Game, says strong winds are pushing more fish into the mouth of the Yukon, and test catches near the mouth on Tuesday saw large numbers of both species. She hopes that means more fish and more chances for subsistence users to finally start putting away enough of them for the winter.
You know, one day makes all the difference. It now looks as though we've got a really, really good group of both summer chum and Chinook salmon moving into the river currently. We believe we've got good groups of summer chum salmon that are moving throughout the river, and we're going to try and get folks fishing on those summer chum salmon when they're there in abundance and when there's relatively low numbers of Chinook salmon.
If the tide conservation on Kings continues, Schmidt says they'll be on track to meet escapement goals for Chinook this year, and that could mean very limited openings for incidental take of Kings. That'll help fishermen meet subsistence needs without a significant impact on King population, but Schmidt says no decision has yet been made.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvests for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The Cook Inlet Aquaculture Association has been blocked by the state from moving hatchery-born pink salmon fry in net pens into Tutka Bay near Homer over environmental concerns. KBBI's Quentin Chandler has more.
Cook Inlet Aquaculture Association positions itself as a group responsible for protecting and rehabilitating salmon stocks.
One of the things that we would like to do as an organization is to improve the economic structure of the commercial salmon industry within Cook Inlet. Raising pink salmon for additional harvest does that.
Gary Fondry, executive director of Cook Inlet Aquaculture, says right now they have a total of 12 net pens in the Tutka Bay Lagoon. The pens hold immature fish until they are ready to be released. They can handle about 100 million salmon fry, but that is too many fish for the lagoon.
The lagoon is a fairly confined area, and if we release, or when we release, all 100 million fish from in the lagoon, they return to that lagoon when they return as adults.
When the tide is low, it becomes nearly impossible to maneuver boats into the lagoon. Fondry says if they can't harvest the returning salmon quickly enough, overcrowding will stress the stock Cook Inlet Aquaculture needs to breed the next generation. Their solution is to take 8 of every 10 fish to the head of Tutka Bay. In April of 2013, Cook Inlet Aquaculture applied with the Department of Natural Resources for a permit to move the net pens. The application was first denied and then approved on appeal. But in late May, the Commissioner of DNR rescinded the permit after receiving complaints from Kachemak Bay State Park residents. Nancy Hillstrand is one of those residents. She is a member of the Kachemak Bay State Park Citizens Advisory Board.
And I also have a background in working with rehabilitation and enhancement of the fisheries with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game for over a 20-year period.
Hillstrand says Cook Inlet Aquaculture has moved past enhancing pink salmon stocks and has entered the realm of industrial artificial production.
The key is for the hatchery to limit its production to the land allotted to it instead of expanding its huge footprint into a park and critical habitat that we have here.
She says the park doesn't function to help just one species thrive. It is there for all of them.
When you do a plankton study prior to release of some of these fish, you will see a big soup of all different kinds of species out there. And once you release this huge magnitude of fish out into a small, narrow bay like that, it's like a big lawnmower going through.
Fondry claims any impacts on habitat would be minimal. He says the net pens would only be in the bay for 2 to 3 months, starting anywhere around the end of January to the beginning of March.
And they would be then removed sometime before the end of June.
Glenn Hollowell with the Department of Fish and Game backs up Fondry.
There is not a significant salmon return to the river at the back of Tutka Bay. This river periodically, during very tough winters, freezes up very hard. So the gravel freezes down to a very deep level, and it tends to kill off whatever salmon might have found their way back to those rivers.
Hollowell says Cook Inlet Aquaculture approached his department a couple of years ago to find the best location for a salmon release.
When we release hatchery fish, we like to have them released from a very isolated place, and we also like to have them released near a significant freshwater outflow, which ideally originates from a geological source.
A geological source that releases minerals the salmon will home in on during their migratory return. Hollowell says they found two places. They could keep the fish in Tutka Bay Lagoon,
or at the back of Tutka Bay, next to the river that comes down the valley there.
Hillstrand questions Fish and Game's part in this.
The Department of Fish and Game has this directive to give priority to rehabilitating depleted species.
She says they're not doing that, and she's afraid the advice to move Cook Inlet Aquaculture's fish to the head of Tutka Bay will actually hurt chances to replenish populations of animals like Dungeness crab. Cook Inlet Aquaculture is in a holding pattern for now. They're waiting for a decision from the Department of Natural Resources. DNR says they're still reviewing the situation. In Homer, I'm Quentin Chandler.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
And that's all for this week's Independence Day edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KDLG's Molly Dishner and Hannah Colton in Dillingham, KCAW's Rachel Waldholtz in Sitka, KNOM's Matthew Smith in Nome, and KBBI's Quentin Chandler in Homer. From KMXD in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.